Hey everyone, welcome to M2F Story. Today I am going to share with you Sun Estrogen Will Help You, written by Janet Stickney. So if you are new to the channel, then please consider subscribing and check out my Patreon, patreon.com/M2F Story. William, the reigning king, made a momentous decision. For 2 years, he had been locked in a struggle with the Lord of the Land as he tried and failed to wrest away the bounty of the land. In the fading, unwritten history of the people of the land, which was once no more than separate families coping with nature, they banded together and elected one man, Nigel, to lead them. This man, the first lord of the land, was wise to the ways of nature and showed the people how to work together. In time, they all grew wealthy and were able to care for the sick and the elderly, build homes and raise cattle. As their sons grew tall, they formed a small army led by the son of the lord of the land. The nearby king, greedy with no regard for his people, cherished the bounty of the people of the land, so he gathered his army and attacked. But the people of the land were strong, sending their sons and daughters to fight side by side for the land. The king lost many troops, some from killing, some ran away, and some starved. As the days wore on, the king knew he was not beaten, yet could not win. Motivated by a desire to bring peace to his embattled troops, and to eliminate the enormous expense to his kingdom, he sent a messenger to his enemy. 2 days later, the men met in secret, deep in the highlands, shrouded in mist, each protected by 7 armed warriors of their choosing. It was not an easy meeting. The king did not like his enemy. Distrust, a natural instinct for men like him. The lord of the land sat placidly in his chair as the king argued and yelled, threw things in anger, yet the warriors made no attempt to interfere. The king was enraged at the lord of the land and his calm face. The lord was young and strong, confident and smiling. As he sat staring at the lord of the land, he finally found an answer. It took 5 days before the pact was agreed to, a secret pact between the mortal enemies. Each had an exact copy that had been signed by all 14 warriors and each other, with their seals affixed. The king retreated with his army, and the lord of the land gathered his people together and told them the great news. They and their heirs could live in peace now. The highlands would be theirs, and he made the pledge that he would help them prosper. In the agreement, all of the lands, castles, estates, and income would belong to the lord of the land and his heirs in perpetuity. But the king was sly, not wise, and added one condition. The year was 1440, and while history was being made, he did not trust his enemy, which is why he added one condition. The lord of the land and his heirs could stay, working the land and prospering, but in the year 2000, the eldest daughter of the direct heir must appear in person before the king's heir to ask that the pact be satisfied by a showing of her naked body. If it is satisfied, the land, estates, castles, and income will stay with the people of the lord of the land. If not, all would return to the king's heirs. For a woman to show her naked body to anyone but her husband was a sin, and the king was confident that the woman, whoever she was, would not do it. The pact was signed and sealed, then stored away, forgotten for 540 years then. Lady Mary lay in her bed, the pain intense as the doctor refused to administer any more drugs.
"You are having a baby, not a cow, my dear. You can do it."
Her husband Michael held her hand, unable to do more than comfort her as she huffed and puffed. Then, all at once, their first child was born. The baby was quickly taken by the nurse and wrapped tightly in a warm blanket. The child, a girl, was named Jane Elizabeth, a smiling little bundle with blonde hair and quick brown eyes. As Sir Michael and his wife Mary looked at the child, they both knew that the legacy handed down to them was now secure. As lord of the land, he and his wife had offered their heir's title to the legacy. As the baby grew, she was a constant joy to the young parents, and like many parents everywhere, they lavished love and attention on the child. Less than a year later, Mary gave birth to a son. They named the boy Nigel in remembrance of the lord of the land that had signed the pact so long ago. As the children grew, they played with the children of the original heirs of the land, attending school on the land, which had been built just for those children. When Nigel was 5, he almost died from the fever. His tiny body was racked with pain, every movement excruciating, his cough hard, his ability to move waning. The fever lasted an entire year, but he finally recovered, yet he had not grown as much as his friends. Where they had gotten taller and started to fill out, he remained weak and slightly smaller. J
Jane showed no sign of the fever and remained a robust girl that liked to learn and play with equal delight. Bright, her eyes simply glowed at new challenges. But Nigel, while smaller than his friends, was a quick lad, and at every turn he would torment his sister with puzzles she could not do. Then, when the children were 11 and 12, tragedy struck once again. Jane, the very symbol of health and vigor, collapsed as she walked to bed. The doctor was called, and while he tried everything he knew, there was nothing he could do. Lady Jane Elizabeth died of a stroke at the age of 12. The implications went far beyond the death of the girl. Every previous lord of the land had invested in the future, and Sir Michael now ruled over a complex operation that returned income in 10 figures, while providing schooling, medical care, and more for the people that lived there. The very idea of ceding the lands to the new king was not even considered. The new king, much like his ancestor, was a despot, eager in his greed, uncaring for his people, and unfair when he administered the laws. Sir Michael could not let his people suffer that way. He had a quiet word with the doctor, then took his wife into their room. The discussion, tempered in grief, was short, both hating it, yet realizing what had to be done. Lady Mary was a teacher at the school, her sister a doctor at the hospital, and as educated women, both of them were well aware of the consequences of a default on the legacy. She knew what had to be done, yet she looked at her husband, sadness in her eyes, unwashed by the tears that flowed for her daughter. They called Nigel to their room the next morning to explain things to him. His eyes rimmed in red, his hair tousled, and his clothes wrinkled. All spoke of how much he missed Jane. The children were as one when they picked on their father, always a soft touch for their innocent ways. But Nigel knew that something serious was in the air. He could sense it in the way only children can. His father took him to his lap and held the boy to him, stroking his hair, finding the nerve to say what had to be said. "Nigel, there is a legacy that you should know about." Sir Michael explained to his son the legacy and what it meant to the people of the land, and then told him what he must do. "When we bury Jane today, she will be buried with your name on the headstone, Nigel. You must become Jane if we are to protect the people." Nigel did not understand it right away, but he knew that his father had just told him he would have to become Jane, his own sister. "But, Papa, I'm not a girl. The other boys will tease me if they see me wearing Jane's clothes." "We have no choice, my son. You must do this for the people. I have asked the doctor and Aunt Carol to help us. They and the three of us are the only ones that know that Jane has died. We will send you to a private school for a while, then you may return to us here, but you must become Jane in order to satisfy the legacy. There is no choice." Nigel looked at his mother, saw the pain written on her face, and knew that she also did not like it. But when she spoke to him, it was only to confirm what his father had said. Nigel had played in his sister's clothes when they were alone. Often they would play house, which meant nothing to him at all, except it passed the hours in the huge castle on rainy days and made Jane happy. Because of his fever so long ago, he and his sister were the same size now, both sharing the blonde hair and green eyes of their mother, but the thin build of their father. His thin body was now a complement to his new life, his small size no longer an issue. Nigel was taken into his sister's room, then dressed in her clothes. His mop of hair was trimmed in a pixie cut like Jane's, and when he looked in the mirror, he saw his sister. "Mother, look at me, I look like Jane." "No, dear, you are Jane. From now on, you will be called Lady Jane." She hugged her son to her breast and cried a bit, letting her grief break out in more tears, even as Nigel held her, patting her back and kissing her face. "I'll do the best I can, Mother, but the other boys." "They cannot, will not know. After the funeral, we will take you to a private school. You will not be back until the holidays." Jane and her Aunt Carol were flown in a private plane to another country and then taken to the summer retreat that Sir Michael owned. It was high in the Alps, yet close to a city, which they could see from their mountaintop. Carol helped Jane move into her room, watching as the small boy tried to cope with the idea that he was to become his own sister. She knew what had to be done, and as a trained doctor, she was well able to help Jane become the woman she needed to be in order to satisfy the legacy. Instead, she allowed Jane to adjust to the clothes, learning how to wear them, see how they felt, and find out how to dress herself. After a week, Jane no longer struggled with the unfamiliar fasteners, buttons on the wrong side, as she said, walking in a skirt, and feeling the air around her legs. Jane did not feel so ashamed in the mountains as it was her Aunt Carol and herself, alone to let her discover the joy that could be held if she let go of her boy self. Jane wore a short skirt and a top with her panties every day, with just Carol to see her. "We should go into town and see about some new clothes for you, Jane. And as a treat, we can get our hair done and maybe eat out tonight." Carol did not think Jane would go, so she was surprised that Jane said she would like that. Jane will narrate from here on, as it is, after all, her story. "Aunt Carol never laughed at me when I first had to wear these clothes, which made me relax a lot. I felt funny about it, but Dad said I had to do it, then he explained it to me. The legacy, he said. I hated it at first, but it isn't much harder than when we played house, and now, well, I don't mind so much anymore. When Aunt Carol said we were going to town, I got excited because I miss my friends, and being here alone is so hard. Aunt Carol said we would eat out, so I decided to wear the party dress and went to my room to change. I took a bath and put my underwear on. The white tights went on easy enough, then the slip, which is white with little blue ribbons on it. The dress is the blue and white one. I pulled it over my head and tried, but I could not button it up, so I asked Aunt Carol to help me. Then she brushed out my hair, and for the first time, she had me wear some pink lipstick. She changed clothes, then drove us into town. We went into a small shop, the scent of perfume in the air, an older woman standing in the back smiling. "May I help you, madam? Jane needs a training bra, and of course you were my first thought." The woman smiled broadly, nodded her head yes, and went behind the counter to get her tape measure. "A bra. I was going to have to wear a bra." I looked down and saw nothing, of course, but the woman was nodding her head as she measured me. Then she went to a drawer and took a bra and held it out. "This will do just fine, madam. May I fit her?" Aunt Carol nodded her head yes, and I was soon standing in a small room naked to the waist as the bra was fastened around me. White, the tiny triangular pieces holding nothing, yet loose on my chest. "May I suggest these?" The woman held up two very small flesh-colored pads, and when Aunt Carol nodded her head yes, the woman put one in each cup, smiling as she stood back. "Let me help you get dressed, young lady." The woman did up the buttons, then, as I looked in the mirror, I saw two very small but definite mounds now pushing against the thin dress. "We'll take two more of the bras and another set of the enhancers, if you please." The woman packaged everything in pink and we left the shop. "Now we can find the dress shop and get you properly fitted, Jane." "This feel funny, Aunt Jane. Do I have to wear it?" "All girls wear bras, dear, and girls your age, well, most of them anyway, have some development, and all of them wear bras, and so will you." I looked at Aunt Carol, the mounds in her blouse prominent, and I could see her bra straps. That's when I knew why I would have to wear the bra. I didn't like it at all. It was tight and made me feel funny and a lot more like a girl. We walked down the street for several blocks and went into a dress shop. From the display in the window, they sold clothes for girls my age. Aunt Carol told me I could pick out three dresses I liked, and then she went looking in another part of the store. I looked at the splashes of color, unable to pick out any dresses, let alone three. So I found Aunt Carol and stayed with her. "These are nice, Jane," she said, holding up a skirt for me to see. It was dark blue with pleats in the front. One after another, Aunt Carol added skirts, blouses, and then, making me select them, three dresses. She paid for them, and we left the shop, the packages to be delivered later. After that, it was shoes and tights, nylons and jewelry, then we stood in front of the salon. "I know this is all new to you, Jane, but most women enjoy this. It's where we make ourselves beautiful, and I hope you enjoy it too." I looked inside, not knowing what to expect, and followed her into the salon. "Yes, madam? You have appointments for Carol and Lady Jane?" "Of course, come this way, please." I was in a chair next to Aunt Carol. Each of us had a woman working on us. "We want her hair to grow out, at least shoulder length, so cut it with that in mind." "As you wish, madam." My hair was washed. Then the woman cut a tiny bit away and used rollers in my hair. I had to sit under a noisy dryer while another woman worked on my hands. My nails were filed and soft pink polish was painted on. When the polish was dry, I was taken back to the chair and the rollers taken out, leaving my hair curly all over. I hated it and almost said something, but the woman began to brush it out and the curls disappeared. But my hair was now wavy and looked like a girl's haircut. I stared in the mirror. Then Aunt Carol took my hand and paid the bill. Then we left the shop. "You look simply wonderful, Jane." I look like a girl. You are a girl, Jane. Always remember that. We went into a very nice restaurant to eat, and then I saw Papa and Mother sitting there. I ran over to them, so happy I was grinning and hugging them both. I missed them so much, and now they were here. Jane, you're so pretty. But Mother, you are Lady Jane Elizabeth, dear. A very pretty young lady and a smart girl. You are Jane, dear. Remember that, please. Yes, Papa. Mother looked at me carefully, her eyes missing nothing, then asked Aunt Carol if I was wearing a bra. Oh, yes, she was fitted for her first one just today. But she has. Papa never finished his sentence when Mother gave him one of her looks. Getting your first bra is a big thing for a girl, Jane. I'm so happy for you. It feels tight, Mother. You'll get used to it, we all do. Papa wasn't smiling, but he wasn't frowning either. We ate dinner, then we all went back to the house. Maybe we can have Jane model all of her new clothes for us. Mother went with me into my room with Aunt Carol, and as they watched, I changed into the dark blue skirt and a white blouse. Then I had to put on pantyhose. They turned my legs tan. I wore the new black shoes, and the three of us went out to see Papa. With my hair done, wearing lipstick, the short skirt with nylons and short heels, my bra straps clearly evident, all traces of the boy I really was under it all had disappeared. I stood there as Jane, a 12-year-old girl about to blossom into a woman. Papa was clearly shaken by the way I looked, then a grin split his face. You look wonderful, Jane, simply wonderful. I looked down at my skirt, so much leg showing, yet I felt proud I was able to make him happy. I twirled in a circle, my skirt rising until my panties showed. I tried on all of my outfits, and each time Papa and Mother smiled at me. When I was done, I wore the dark skirt again and sat between them. Jane, how are you managing? Wearing girls' clothes, I mean. Okay, Papa, it's different, and I hate it sometimes, but Aunt Carol says that it's okay to feel that way once in a while. She's right, Jane, it is, but you have to become a girl in every way, so you might as well get used to it. What does that mean? It means that Aunt Carol is going to give you a shot once a week to help you become a better girl. That's it for today. Hope you have enjoyed it. If you do, then be sure to subscribe for the next part of this story. And show your support on Patreon.